I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 30th, 2025, 2 days until tariffs are dropped on Canada. The first thing I want to say is I will not be trying to contact you for private communications via Telegram, WhatsApp, or any other thing. I'm going to talk about that at the end of the video, but anybody trying to contact you for private communication is a scammer. Today, I want to address, I've talked in previous videos about cartel control of Canada's ports and rampant crime in this country. Now, understand, if you're new to this channel, and I hope that you are, stick with me all the way to the end. I've been talking about these themes in previous videos, but today we're going to put some serious meat on the bones so you understand how deeply troubled Canada actually is. Again, I would ask you not to tune out. Keep your eyes wide open so that some truth can be revealed here. Go watch my other videos. I talk about many of the themes we're going to discuss here, but today I want to highlight the fantastic journalism of one Stephen Punwasi, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, the co-founder of Better Dwelling. This is a thread. We're going to go through it. We're going to commentate on it. These are facts. This is the Canada that has been built over the last 10 years. I've often talked in a bipartisan way about how Canada has been sold out by every successive government for decades. But this piece cannot be laid on Stephen Harper or the previous governments. This is a new thing encouraged by the state. We'll talk about it as we go. Reading from the opening, Canada's public safety minister just said that less than 1% of U.S. fentanyl is from Canada and ditto for illegal immigrants. Here's why that's a whopper of a lie, warning your opinion of Canada will irreversibly change. Now, we've talked about this before. The government, for whatever reason, is covering up the scale of the problem here in Canada. And in fact, right now, as I talked about yesterday, Doug Ford is campaigning on massive public spending at borrowed public spending because he doesn't actually have the money. The Trudeau Liberals and the NDP are talking about a pandemic-level spending program to compensate people for a trade war Canada intends to prosecute against the United States. And as the public talks about what can of corn to buy, these people are rallying around smuggling and drug trafficking. That's the truth. Trump has made expressly clear what it is he is trying to achieve with Canada via these tariffs and what his problem actually is. And just to reiterate, Trump has made it very clear. These are the president's words. This tariff will remain in effect until such time as drugs, in particular fentanyl, and all illegal aliens stop this invasion of our country. Both Canada and Mexico have the absolute right and power to easily solve this long simmering problem. Now, the Canadian side is trying to make it about trade. The Canadian side is rallying around human and drug smuggling. And you need to keep this in mind. Why are they not just dealing with this problem and signaling to the United States they're dealing with this problem? Daniel Smith is the only person, along with Premier Mo coming in second, that are moving on this file and making it about what the president's talking about and trying to save Canada. The media and the politicians have inverted reality. They are rallying around this illegal activity. And again, please don't tune out. Let's go through this thread that I've been talking about. Because as much as I've put some meat on the bones in my previous video, this thread is dynamite. Stephen Punwasi, go check him out. Last year, the U.S. Border Services seized 19.6 pounds of fentanyl. In Canada, busts in Q4, a lab in BC was producing 4% that volume per year. A lab in Alberta produced 1% of that volume. In Canada, just these four busts in Q4 represented over 1 billion, with a B, of drug profits. Let's go through the imagery. RCMP bus drug super lab seizing 485 million in fentanyl and meth. 30,000 kilograms of chemicals seized in massive Enderby drug production bust. Merchants of Death, top player in Alberta's largest ever fentanyl lab case, sentenced to 16 years in prison. 7,600 kilograms of chemicals used in fentanyl production. The estimated street value was calculated at $300 million. 16 individuals charged in connection with drug trafficking. These are mainstream news headlines. We know that these labs existed. We know they were busted. And the scale of production far exceeds what can be sold in the Canadian market. Where are they going? Across an unprotected border. But it gets a lot worse. I doubt that was handcrafted. Artisanal fentanyl is destined for sale at local farmers markets. Canada has been well aware of this for decades. The DEA alleged that El Chapo stated, Canada was more lucrative than the Americans and sent a lieutenant as a student. And a quick sidebar on immigration claims it was robust screening, but literally anyone that showed up could get a student visa with an acceptance letter until last year. No background checks. The letter was never verified. Popular with organized crime. We have uncovered, and I talked about this in previous videos, how the colleges and universities have been exploited to funnel humans through Canada into the United States. Again, mainstream stories. Go look at my other videos. But it's much worse than that. Back to fentanyl. I'm not a housing guy by trade. My team fell into housing when we were confused by Vancouver real estate prices. I'm actually a quant by training that specializes in tracking capital flows, legal and otherwise. Money is zero sum, so there's always a source. When we crunched the numbers back in 2016-17, we identified one party, an organized crime group that stopped laundering in its traditional region. The flows were too similar to ignore. We published it. Facebook banned it. Old Twitter wouldn't let it pass in the DMs. I'll do that next. After being branded a racist, I get a call from a former director of the RCMP who is dumbfounded by the fact we nailed it right down to the gang. Scooper Cooper dug and uncovered the Vancouver model. Yes, a money laundering model is named after a city in Canada. This is occurring. This problem, which you're not hearing about, and we're gonna talk about how Canada is so ill-informed, but this problem that you're not hearing about exists in this country. And Occam's razor seems to indicate that it exists because at least some politicians want it to exist. So an adjunct of this, safe injection sites, safe supply, all this stuff creates a friendly environment for cartel control. This thread gets much worse. The Vancouver model is simple. Drug money is traded for casino chips. You cash out with a casino check. Deposit tax-free winnings at a bank, buy a house with the proceeds, pay the mortgage with rent, repeat. Guys literally went to high roller tables with grocery bags of cash. The subtweet says Canadian authorities and casino staff are so scared of organized crime, they let loan sharks operate in plain sight. Now note the date, March 5th, 2021. This is a known problem. This has been going on for a long time. The Americans, with their vast intelligence network, understand that Canada is a clearinghouse for cartels. That's why the president says and chooses the words that he's saying and choosing. We need to take them literally. And again, you have to ask yourself, why are politicians marketing a trade war? Why are they rallying around these practices and ready to sacrifice the entire Canadian economy rather than doing something about illicit human and drug smuggling? That's what you have to keep in mind. Side note, Cooper did an interview with a person on my staff describing the inquiry in the Vancouver model. Facebook immediately banned everyone at my company, and I was labeled a critic of China despite me not saying anything. Shout out to the American billionaire who fixed it. We know who he's talking about. The person that the media loves to target for enabling free speech on a platform. And it is. It is much better. And this is where the news actually is these days. You're not going to find it at CBC. You will find better information in X threads than you will ever find in Canadian government-funded mainstream media. Twitter censored sharing our report identifying a real estate money laundering scheme, the Vancouver model. Now Facebook has arbitrarily scrubbed the account of data analyst and co-founder of Better Dwelling Canada's largest indie housing news outlet, Stephen Ponwasi. They also removed all of Better Dwelling's page managers. This happened after the outlet posted a one-minute clip from an interview with Willful Blindness author Sam Cooper. See a pattern yet? Facts are, the truth has been on the wane for many years and has been censored. The more honest you are, the more over the target you are, the more censorship you face. I'm a victim of that same process. Many of us are. We're not unique. They have been covering this up. Money laundering is like cockroaches. A place doesn't just have one. So it was time to look at the Greater Toronto real estate bubble. The fine folks at Transparency International let me help with a study where we found 25.4 billion with a B in mortgages with blatant laundering flags and anonymous ownership. Again, this is back in 2021 when it was impossible to tell these stories. We had to choose our words very carefully back then. If you recall, what else happened in 2021? A pandemic. The model of socialist universal basic income, CERB, the business loans that they are now proposing to use hundreds of billions of dollars in order to, quote-unquote, compensate the Canadian public for the damage politicians are about to do by engaging a trade war with the United States. Doug Ford has triggered an election, and the banner that he's using is Protect Ontario. He's going to kill Ontario because he doesn't want to deal with the problems that we are talking about here and that I have been talking about in my previous work. This study confirms that companies have provided camouflage for nearly $30 billion in residential property transactions. This is why you can't afford a home. And we're going to talk about, we'll get to that in a moment. This is why you can't afford a home. Most of those transactions have all but avoided regulated financial institutions and have not been subject to beneficial ownership and source of funds checks. This amounts to a massive multi-billion dollar blind spot in Canada's AML regime, where funds of unknown origin can be used to acquire property while the true owners remain invisible. True owners being cartels, criminals, the very thing that Donald Trump is talking about. Politicians pretended to crack down and then generated liquidity. Their primary concern wasn't the laundering, but a bust pushing prices down. So changing the status quo, doing something about the problem, would alleviate the pressure, the rising pressure on housing prices. Can you believe this? Your government is rallying around this. While they talk out of one side of their mouth about lowering the price of housing, they resist doing basic things that would actually accomplish that goal, but also, forgive me, also do something to get rid of the fent zombies and the meth heads off our streets and do something about crime. This is reality. America alleges Toronto is the command and control center for the global fentanyl trade, with the money being washed through Canadian banks and real estate. He's shocked. I'm not. I've been talking about this for a while. I'm sure he's putting meat on the bones. Trying to figure out how to talk about this stuff has been the greatest challenge for the last several years, but I digress. How corrupt is Canada? One of the world's biggest fentanyl dealers was running his operations using a prison mail system. That would be absurd in Jalisco, but it didn't even make the news in Canada. I wonder why. Your media is funded by the state. The state is rallying around these practices. The state is resisting doing common sense things that would fix the problem here in Canada. The state is about to engage in a trade war, which will rip this country apart, as Scott Moe has said, but will put hundreds of thousands of Canadians out of work, inflate your dollars, erode your savings, and make you suffer, and they're doing it under the banner of protecting Ontario and Team Canada. The very thing that's destroying this country, ripping us asunder, is that which they are rallying behind. America is offering a $5 million reward for one of the world's biggest fentanyl dealers. In passing mention, they mentioned that Canada, the Canada connection, alleging his associates were prisoners in Canada shipping from the prison. Do you have any idea the scale of corruption required? Like, I mean, I wonder how Stephen feels sleeping at night, Because even talking about this stuff in the way that I have and the way I'm talking about it now, you're playing with real dangerous information, which is why it's not getting out there to the public. When you understand that Canada, as I've said, is a clearinghouse for global cartels and smuggling into the United States, and your very government ministers, your prime minister, your premiers stand up in front of the public and deny it's happening when it's public information. It is known. It's not just known to us who are in the know. It's known to the U.S. government, which is why they're doing what they're doing. They're disrupting this. They're trying to protect people. They're trying to stop the death. They're trying to disrupt the cartels. These emergency orders that I talked about in my previous videos, where Mexican cartels are identified as terrorist organizations, and I've told you how those cartels are operating right here in Canada. You need to understand the pretexts that are being set up, that the Americans are deadly serious, and that your government rallying behind this is a huge red flag about your future, which is why I say that Danielle Smith is the true leader of Canada right now, because she's the only one doing what's required to actually save the country. And if she can't save the country, because I would argue that we're almost getting to the point where we can't save the country, we need to save Alberta and Saskatchewan at the very least, because we might not be able to save the rest of the pieces, but we might be able to do what's right for the people here. Most folks don't know Canada's government orders media bans preventing discussion of a case. A recent case involving an RCMP director of Intel, Canada's FBI, the Five Eyes director, allegedly leaked to a kingpin launderer representing the Sinaloa cartel and terrorist organizations. 2023, I'm not going to swear. Canada's former RCMP intelligence director is on trial for leaking info to a kingpin money launderer. These are, forgive me if it's disjointed, but I think if you stop and think about it and you read what's going on, you'll understand that this is a long laundry list of articles and history that points out what Canada actually is. The sleeping masses need to wake up. Cameron Ortiz, the former RCMP intelligence director, leaked classified information in 2015 that would have assisted Altaf Kanani, a major figure in Hezbollah's global money laundering and terror financing operations, according to court testimony in Ottawa and related U.S. government allegations. It's really important for you to understand that we have operating in Canada not just the Sinaloa cartel, but we have open meetings of Hamas, of Hezbollah, funding their operations overseas. We are a terrorist hub, and you don't hear about it because you're not supposed to hear about it. There is a myth of Canada, this nice, polite, quiet place, low crime, very safe, very Nerf ball, but it covers up the truth, and the Americans are exposing that truth. Canada is a security threat to the United States. Trump is telling you in plain English, are you listening yet? Because this is going to affect your future. Speaking of the cartel, guess who their banker is? Toronto Dominion Bank. They recently paid the largest penalty of its kind in American history. That's an accomplishment. TD Bank fined $3 billion for enabling drug cartel money laundering, the largest penalty of its kind in U.S. history. This is going on, folks. These are all linked together. Where's the investigative journalist at CBC who's putting this all together and putting it in front of you? Where's Rachel Gilmore? Where are the people who are supposed to be talking about reality? They're covering up reality with pronoun nonsense. They're covering up reality with Nerf ball stories and Nerf ball talking points. They're covering up reality by saying that the Americans are concerned about trade. And I'm sure they are. Concerned about trade imbalances, but why would the Americans continue to funnel to engage in this trade surplus issue that they're talking about when a lot of that money is being funneled right to the very cartels that are trying to bring the Americans down? This is an inflection point between the myth and reality. I'm trying to prepare you. Stephen is trying to prepare you. And speaking of laundromats, HSBC Canada was recently acquired by RBC. With odd terms such as lending to the small group of developers in BC, the finance minister at the time must have forgot they were under investigation at the time of the rushed exit. So weird. If HSBC was accused of facilitating wide-scale money laundering, why did Canada's government scramble to transfer its assets to RBC? There's a song by a man named Jello Biafra. He combined with a band, Dead on Arrival, which was a Canadian punk band. Jello Biafra was with the Dead Kennedys. And they put together an album called, it's either Heavy Metal, I think it's Heavy Metal Jackoff. And in a song, they talk about drugs being made on the Washington, D.C. Beltway. And I know I'm segueing here, but there's a line that always comes to my mind. And it's, so much comes in so easy. It's as though someone wanted it there. And that's where we are. Occam's razor cuts a certain way. There has to be some complacency and some complicity on the part of the government to enable this. And then think in your minds, Chrystia Freeland twitching out of control at press conferences because she's on drugs. Fake Chinese income mortgages fuel Toronto real estate bubble. I found out a huge mortgage fraud showing borrowers with exaggerated income from one specific country, China. Where does all the raw material for the fentanyl production, drug production, come from? Remember the hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars in bus we were just talking about? It comes from China. That's a lot about BC, but what about Ontario? To start, we know casinos were used for the same reason. Why? Canada was told by an intel agency that the world's largest car theft gang arrived and is using casinos. Canada ignores it. Goes on to become a car theft capital. Do you sense a trend? Notice a surge in car thefts? Many are exporting to Africa. You know those Nigerian Prince emails? Same folks. This is going on. Remember, context. Doug Ford is triggering an election to fight the Americans on what he calls trade to protect Ontario. This is what is thriving in Ontario. I've talked about this before. He's going to destroy hundreds of thousands of jobs and destroy the livelihoods of Ontario. These practices have driven the price of housing out of reach. These practices have enabled the largest crime ring, arguably in the entire world, and Doug Ford's election is rallying behind that status quo, the very status quo the Americans are trying to break up. Trump ain't the bad guy here. The bad guys are in power. After pressure to improve AML, which is basically know your customer, making sure that when you trade on a Canadian exchange, when you trade in crypto, you have to AML KYC, know your customer. So you have to prove who they are and you have to have a record and do all this stuff. Unless you're doing this and then you don't have to. Canada hit casinos with new reporting regulations. Surely this will catch the laundering in Ontario, right? Funny story. A regulator hit a casino with an allegation and whoops, the AML reporting system for casinos went offline for 6 months. Canada's financial intel agency was hacked on March 2nd. Canada said nothing was lost. But 2 months later, some systems are still down, such as digital reporting of casino transactions. Who has the power to pull the plug on a reporting system that would uncover the vast cartel control of Canada? Your governments. When places have low statistical corruption, it's because it has low corruption or it's too corrupt to even try enforcing. Yeah, I could almost break into tears, man. This is a country I grew up in and I learned to love. And it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to know what we've come to and what we're about to enter into. And when I speak of engaging with the Americans and considering options, and the provinces going their separate ways, it ain't easy for me. It ain't easy. But this is reality. This is what Canada's turned into. I don't know if we can bring it back as Canada. Ontario resembles the latter. That is, it's too corrupt to even try enforcing. Ontario resembles the latter when it comes to drugs. No major drug lab bust, but America seems to arrest a lot of smugglers. So we're not breaking anybody up. But where the Americans are capturing it when it's going across the border. Again, let's go. Illinois police nabbed two Ontario men with cocaine worth $40 million. It's not a small amount. Ontario truck driver arrested on drug charges at the border. Canadian trucker nabbed with $16.5 million in cocaine loaded at border. Brampton driver arrested with $6.5 million worth of cocaine seized at Canadian border. This you can go on and on and on with this. Cocaine is not manufactured in Canada. Where's it coming from? How's it getting in the country? And why is it going south from up here? They're lying when they say Canada doesn't have a problem. They're lying when they say this is about trade and it's not about the very thing that Donald Trump has said it's about. People are dying. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying. You're seeing your streets filled with zombies who are being victimized by this. Now, I've said before that every drug addict is responsible for their choices, and I stick by that. But this is all linked. Safe supply, safe injection sites, all of this stuff is a symptom of the real problem with our country, which is this is what we're doing. And we want to create a favorable environment to keep doing this. If you're starting to think there's something wrong with Canada's government feels the same way. The country's Organized Crime Intelligence Unit estimates 1 in 4,000 adults in Canada are organized crime, and 260 organized crime groups work in government. Remember that foreign interference report we had the other day, that nothing burger? They don't talk about this stuff, man. They don't name names. They don't talk about reality. It's all a cover-up. The whole government is a PR arm, or it appears that way, for drug cartels. This is dangerous stuff. And that's why our country is on the verge of ending, because we're not honest. We're not a good country. Why does Canada suddenly seem so corrupt and tell warned politicians they're tracking 2,600 organized crime groups in Canada? Let's gloss over the fact that Australia's largest fentanyl bust was a shipment recently being smuggled in from where? Canada. Granted, it wasn't as stylish as Canada's coke and meth in a vintage Bentley that occurred a few days later. Australia found $135 million in coke and meth hidden in a vintage Bentley shipped from Canada less than 3 days since Australia made their largest fentanyl seizure ever, also coming from Canada. Which highlights another thing, and I don't even think I've touched on this. It's not just what we're doing. It's not what we're sending to America. We're sending it to the world. And the Americans know this. Everybody knows it except for the Canadian public, which is, I wish we could get videos like this one. I wish we could get the work of Stephen Ponwowski. Like, look at this. 372 likes so far on this subthread. 16,000 views. It should be in front of millions of Canadians. If we had a free and fair media in this country, they would be trying to put it in front of Canadians, but they're not. They're actively engaged in the cover-up, or they're too afraid to talk about it. And soon it's not going to be up to us to talk about it. The Americans are going to do the talking for us, and the Canadian public rallying behind the government, rallying around this anti-Trump rhetoric, rallying around the trade war is actually rallying around drugs and human smuggling, cartel control of Canada. Okay, I will admit Canada provides less than 1% of America's illegal aliens. However, when it comes to supervillains, Canada is the undisputed champ. Now, the American border encounters with suspected terrorists are 500% higher on the Canadian border versus Mexico. 1% of illegals, 80% of terror suspects. Not only is it about cartel financing of global terror networks, Canada is at the forefront. Everybody likes to talk about the World Economic Forum and the United Nations and all of these things. They are inherently tied to global terrorism. And Canada is a front line in their war against a resurgent America. Trump talks about a golden age for America. People talk about his plan and allege that he's part of the Club of Rome and that he's just doing their bidding. All actions indicate otherwise. The Americans are trying to kick these criminals out of the hemisphere, which is why he's talking about Canada as a 51st state. It's the only way he can rein it in, because Canadian officials seem to be content to allow Canada to be a cartel hub, to be a terrorist hub, and to use Canada as a launching pad for their war against the United States, a sovereign, strong, powerful United States. President Trump means Canada's immigration is about to tighten a lot more. America saw a sharp uptick of terror suspects cross Canada with laundered IDs, new passports. Republicans warned they'll reconsider what it means to be from Canada if that's not fixed. I talked the other day about the weakening status of Canadian passports. This is why. This is why it's not the gold standard anymore, because our governments have allowed it to be manipulated and used by evil, extremely evil, immoral people. Which shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Remember those launderers above? They launder for terrorists and drug dealers, and business is booming. Canada has a strange history as a major terror hub. Like the time CSIS destroyed evidence, it had someone on the Air India bombing. Canada is wild. Finally reading up on the Air India bombing, which was the largest aviation terror attack since 9/11. CSIS may have had a mole in the Air India conspiracy. CSIS did destroy hundreds of wiretaps relating to the Air India investigation, something that the Crown conceded in court was unacceptable negligence. And ain't. At some point, you have to start realizing it's not negligence. There's intent, because it's not just this. Remember the things we just talked about. Websites going down, Canada's failure to investigate, Canada's failure to tell the truth. We mistake, because I see it all the time in the comment section. I see people saying Canada's leaders are stupid, they're inept, they're unintelligent. What if it's the other way around? What if they're extremely capable? They're running one of the best propaganda operations in the world and the most sophisticated money laundering, drug trafficking, terror network. It's in plain sight for those who are looking for it. But there's a veneer over Canada that hides it. The evidence is right in front of your face. Drive around your cities. You can see how drugs have taken this nation over. And nobody's trying to stop it. In fact, they want to just make it official through what they call safe supply. That would be official government trafficking. It just is what it is. Why Canada is ignoring a 27-year-old Interpol red card notice for the alleged assassin of Prime Minister of Bangladesh. Friendly reminder, this Toronto condo owner killed the Prime Minister of Bangladesh, fled to Canada, where his Interpol red card was ignored for 27 years. Why is it he seeks protection in Canada? We've talked about the extremism of Khalistani Sikhs and Hamas and Hezbollah. It goes beyond that. This is a safe haven for some of the world's worst people. Seems a little sketchier than most people would assume, eh? And we're only really discussing two provinces. Nova Scotia, for instance, has no crime, but is overrepresented for laundering activity. The port also makes frequent appearances in American intel reports. So you know how Nova Scotia is Canada's money laundering capital? Oh, you don't? Probably because Canada intentionally ignores it, despite the Halifax port frequently mentioned in American intel. It's not just a Vancouver problem. That's why I said in my previous videos, cartel control of ports, points of entry. It's everywhere. And the Trump administration isn't going to have it. This ain't about trade. And these elections that are going on right now are not about uniting Canada to stop Trump. They're about uniting Canada to protect cartel criminal terrorist control of this country as a clearinghouse. You know, sometimes I sit here and I do these videos and I hear my own words. I hear them as they're coming out of my mouth. It's different. If you're not a content creator, it's different. Hearing yourself say something. I never watch my videos back. But as the information comes out of me, as I make this stuff, it all comes together in my head like a big game of connect the dots. And it really gets heavy. It weighs on me. And actually, let's go back for a second. Because people think, and I've said I'm going to vote for Pierre Poilievre, and I probably am, but This is what he's talking about.
This is a very good question. First of all, I just want to get out of the way one thing. I want to axe the sales tax on new homes to save you up to $50,000. I also want to incentivize municipalities to speed up permits, free up land, and cut development charges to build, build, build. The provinces should be pressured to take their sales tax off. Those combined changes would save hundreds of thousands of dollars on each home.
We don't need to keep listening because you get the point. He's not talking about the problems at the border. He's not talking about cartel influences. He is also uniting. And I don't know if the conservatives are complacent in this or not. I don't know. I don't know who is. I don't know if it's the entire Liberal government. But the people who have the positions of power, not just within the government, but the bureaucracy, are content to cover this problem up. This is your media. 30-meter-long BC fence along stretch of U.S. border sparks international investigation. So CBC today is concerned with what they call an illegally constructed 30-meter fence. And this whole thing is about basically treaties that have no bearing and getting the thing torn down because it's such a terrible thing. We are so far from doing the right thing in Canada. We are so far from actually fixing the border, kicking cartels out, dealing with terrorism, that the propaganda arm of the government is talking about an illegally constructed fence that probably won't stop anybody anyway. But in their eyes, it's a very small foot in the door to actually dealing with the problem. They will destroy this country. They will tank this country. And I would wonder, I have to wonder, if the reason they're willing to do this damage is because they are afraid, and this is a possibility, but there might be, or there is, powerful people who are afraid of facing justice for their crimes. So what can you do? You can talk about it. You can get on the horn to your premier, specifically if you live in Western provinces, and you can tell them that the breakup of Canada is coming, that the Americans are serious, and the suffering of the entire nation to protect the status quo, which I've just spelled out to you, is unacceptable. Now, I don't have a lot of faith in the majority of the Canadian public to be able to even understand, let alone accept, what I've just presented here. But this is reality, and it's the reality the Americans are not going to stand for anymore. The emergency orders that the president has signed, a president who controls the House, controls the Senate, and arguably controls the Supreme Court. If we engage in the economic damage that we're talking about engaging in, all they have to do is tell the story of Canada. And they will have their casus belli. They will have their pretext to take the whole thing over. Be ready, folks. This isn't child's play stuff. This isn't narrative spinning. I'm not here seeking clicks and likes and followers and anything else. I'm trying to tell you a story. Someone in the comments recently said that when history is about to be made, that's when I reemerge. I don't intend to leave this time. Genuinely, I do not intend to leave. I want to be here forever. The only reason I left last time was because my situation wasn't secure. And I was in the process of leaving Ontario because I think anybody who understands this, anybody that this resonates with, you need to make a tough choice. You might have to leave Ontario. Come west before we leave this country, because I think we're going to leave this country. Now, about those Telegram bots and WhatsApp bots, this guy actually brought this point. Dude, you don't even send a thank you email when someone sends a cash donation. Let me just say, blanket right here. For those of you who do support the channel financially, thank you. No, I don't contact you directly. I'm going to read my response. I don't tend to email donors, no. I try to give everyone the same amount of my time, regardless of whether they donate or not. I provide this for free for all to use. I deliver my website and secure it at my time and expense. Donations help, but I am not running a pay-for-access operation. The day I start talking to people just because they sent any amount of money, whether it's $5 or $50 million, is the same day I should delete the whole channel and quit. But know that I appreciate every single one regardless. First off, I am not running a pay-for-access game here. That's one of the reasons I'm opposed to all the common sense ideas, and they are common sense. Super chats, Patreons, all these special access things. I'm not judging anybody who does it. It ain't for me. I just want to talk to people. The other reason is it opens a door to abuse. It's bad enough I got bots running around. It's bad enough I got DDoS attacks happening on my website. It's bad enough I got people trying to log into my website every single day. They're never going to get in. You're not going to get in. The website is safe. It's safe for you to use. No, if you send me $50,000, well, 50 grand, I might send you an email. But it's going to be private. I ain't going to announce it. Your name ain't going to be scrolling across the screen. I don't contact people because it's an avenue for abuse. If I develop a personal relationship with people that I meet through this work, it's because I developed a personal relationship. It's not because you paid me to. That's never going to happen here. So if you do choose to financially support it, know that I appreciate you. But don't expect special treatment. You're financially supporting me to do this. I'm already giving you the thing that you're supporting. You're not buying friendship here. Most of the friends that I've made in the course of this work, the people who have transitioned from this work to my personal life, most of them have never contributed any money to the operation. There's a couple who have, but I'm not friends with them because of their money. In fact, one friend a couple months ago gave me some support, and I actually, because he was a friend before, and I said, dude, you have to understand that what you're giving me, and it has no strings attached. I'm not going to create content for you. I'm not going to give you any special treatment. And if I say something eventually that angers you, I don't want this to have come between us. And I offered to send it back because any amount, small amount, can come between people. And he insisted that I keep it, and he insisted, you know, pay your bills with it, buy some food, develop your things, buy technology, do whatever you got to do. I think I've said enough about it. Nobody soliciting you for private communications via Telegram, WhatsApp, or anything else is me. Frank Vaughn at gmx.com is the email that you can send money to for e-transfers. I got to update the donate page so that people have requested Bitcoin addresses and stuff, and I just haven't gotten around to it. But you can also communicate with me via that email. You can just send plain emails. Generally, I read them all. I don't necessarily respond to them all, but I read them all. There's an article sitting on my desktop, Tiki Masala. It's about the danger of trucking in Canada. A guy sent it to me, I don't know, months ago, and I've been wanting to make a special video just about this article that this guy wrote about the wreckage of our trucking industry. I haven't gotten around to it yet because there's only so much content people can consume in a day, and some of these things are so important, they almost deserve – it's like I should take a break of making videos for 2 days and make a feature video so more people will click on it so they get the most important information. I'm not here to run a popularity contest or a pay-for-access junket. I appreciate every single donation. It doesn't buy you any special treatment. It helps me pay my bills. I don't have a luxury lifestyle. I don't want to drive an Audi. I'm going to be, if I'm a millionaire, first off, if I was a millionaire, I'd take down all the donate links. I wouldn't let you give me money anymore. I would finance the thing myself because I don't need it. I'm never going to buy a new vehicle. I'm going to be driving used junk the rest of my life. Most of the stuff that was built in the past is better anyway, but I digress. I got a lot of the things I already need. I got a home. I got a place for my kids to grow up. I don't have a lot of cash, which is why I have a donate link. You can click it or you don't click it. But there's never going to be special treatment because you send money. You're supporting what I do. That's it. It's your way of thanking me, and I appreciate it. But don't be like this guy. You're not buying access. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.